magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2019.
I don't
hear you.
Hi.
Welcome, Kathleen.
Hello. Hey, Kathleen. Hello.
Welcome, radio listener, Prime Life Times reader.
Prime Life Times in review.
Yep, this is Wednesday, and so we generally will read a couple stories, and we're pleased to have Kathleen Jennings return. What is this, probably your fifth, sixth, seventh time?
I don't
know, you've
done
a number of times.
I haven't been counting.
Sharing.
You have written some really great, informative, and encouraging, and inspirational articles, Kathleen.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You have.
Yeah, rumor has it there's a few different McDonald's, one in Mahomet, another one I know of in Danville, where some veterans, some old-timers, gather and they pull out the Prime Life Times papers, and sometimes your featured story, whoever you've interviewed, becomes the topic of conversation.
Oh,
so the war buddies loved
That's
reading.
Great. They have been seen reading your stories.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
And Rob has mentioned that too, I think.
Yeah.
He's seen maybe it's Monticello or somewhere else where he said there's the real regulars that get their coffee at McDonald's.
Oh, that's great.
They pull out the Prime Life Times papers, and like five or six different guys are leafing through it, and they start commenting and talking.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's fun.
Well, I know that's where I go to find some of the veterans that I interview.
Oh, okay.
Is it the McDonald's in Mahomet?
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
They're there and...
Yay, McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Bob Hesterberg was a veteran, but his homegoing is actually today. Yesterday there was visitation, but Bob and Norma Hesterberg had supported the station for many years. In fact, Bob was the first electrician that I think I had to hire for some problem solving or figuring out things when we launched the radio ministry 22 plus years ago.
Really?
Yeah, but he's with the Lord. In fact, I know his four brothers, Eldon, Earl, Carl, and Armin. And Armin sang with the Singing Men for a period of time. I think Eldon did also. I don't know if I ever had Bob a part of the Singing Men. He might have been way back at the very beginning, but he's survived by his four brothers, and I believe he had a sister, Darlene, who I didn't know, but today's their memorial service. Actually, they'll be going on pretty soon after this morning's program, but prayers go out to Norma and the Hesterberg family, a big clan in the Gifford area. In fact, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, many of them have attended there, kind of like you go up north around Gifford and the Hesterberg name is
widely known. That's what you were saying beforehand,
Yeah, you get the Fisher and it's like Rademachers and Hesterbergs.
Interesting.
And
Berkey's.
Yeah, Berkey's, Neff's.
Yeah,
you know, there's some names that have been around for many years.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, and I know Bob did some mission work. He's been to Haiti and Guatemala and New Orleans, a number of mission trips, a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all know that there's a happy ending, even though it's a sad time, but he secured his destiny in heaven by following the Lord Jesus Christ and finished well and is survived by many lovely people that also love the Lord. So our hearts go out to Norma and those that are grieving today and will grieve for many days ahead.
Yeah. Well, the Lord Jesus paved the way for him.
Amen.
God, I pray that you would be with Norma and the family. And bless everyone as they go through these days after the funeral and the service, that your spirit would really reinvigorate their lives in a way that's unexpected, and that your presence would be strong. And Lord, I just want to say again, thank you for paving the way for us to have our journey to you safe and secured. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing, for praying. And that's, I guess, the happy-sad balance that we
have.
It
is.
Always
is.
The loss of a loved one, and yet knowing that they're in a better place, and the faithfulness of God that wooed Bob to himself and will secure him for all eternity, so that those of us that follow Jesus see Bob and other loved ones again.
So I know. That'll be so.
Kind of a mixed emotion day, but at least as Christians, as followers of Jesus, there is hope. So.
Yes, there is. Well, Kathleen, tell us how you went about, you say you met some of these folks in McDonald's, but how did you meet Harold?
How did I meet Harold? Well, Mark, it seems that Mark likes to play ping pong.
Oh dear, how did we get onto that?
Well,
I got to see how she ties this together.
You ask me how I met Harold.
Okay.
All right. One of the people that Mark plays with. Is Robert He's named Robert.
Right. Robert Hemingway, one of the most talented, probably one of the best ping pong players around.
Wow.
In fact, I call him coach. I have two coaches,
You
will. They tolerate my level of play.
Yeah.
And they're so good that they hit the ball into my paddle. I don't do a whole lot. They're just that skilled.
Yeah. And one day, I got an email from Robert. I didn't know Robert. But he told me that he knew someone who was a veteran of World War II, and it would make a very good story. And this was several months ago, several months ago. So I told him that I would be interested.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it took a while. It took a few months for everything to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there were some health issues at the time.
Yes,
and,
Harold had some health issues. Harold is 95.
Oh, wow.
But he is so sharp.
That's great.
And he's a pure delight to talk with.
That's great.
And I really enjoyed that. Well, John and I drove down near Charleston. He lives out in the country near Charleston.
Oh.
And I interviewed him, and he gave me also a lot of additional information, pictures.
Too much to fit in an article.
Way too much. But all of it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. It gave me a couple videos. You see, he had been a prisoner in a prison camp in Switzerland, which never made sense to me because Switzerland was a neutral country, but yet they kept Americans prisoner.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your article.
Yeah.
That was so surprising to me.
They had British, American, German.
Goodness.
I mean, they had a
That's
lot
not
of...
not neutral.
They just kept them prisoner. And he was finally awarded the Prisoner of War Medal, along with some other survivors. And it made the news. It really made national news when this happened. And they also made a video of the presentation.
Oh, did you get to see that?
And so I got to see that. That was one of the videos he gave me. Then they also, in Switzerland, had made a video where they interviewed a lot of the survivors of this particular camp. And it was a horrific camp.
So sorry.
And it was where they interviewed a lot of the survivors. So I watched that as well.
Well, you are well ready to have written this article then.
Yes. Yes. It was... I couldn't put everything in this article. I could have written a book if I had tried to put everything.
Oh, wow.
In.
Oh, I'm anxious for people to hear this.
And that's usually the case with every interview.
Is that right?
That's right.
I know that feeling.
That's usually the case with everyone. That's the hardest part.
You could write a book.
Paring it down.
Yeah. And then being limited to our basically around 600 words or so.
Kathleen's go closer to 1,000. We've got a few people that we've made allowance for.
They've been very kind to me. And
but even 1,000 words.
That's a small to write.
In the publishing field, they have let me
do
about twice. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this one is titled On a Wing and a Prayer.
Okay.
And this is B2 of the April edition of the Prime Life Times, available at nearing 300 locations, between 250 and 300.
We should stop and count them up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, some are taking them to their church.
I know.
Some will take a few to this dentist's office or this doctor's appointment and leave them there, and so it's hard to know all those
other
locations.
We really don't count those in the long list.
But this is in section B2 of our April edition of the Prime Life Times.
From Generation to Generation, a series by Kathleen Jennings. All right.
On a Wing and a Prayer. The phrase casualty of war came into sharp focus for Alva Harold Moss even before he entered German airspace in May 1944. One of 10 crew members of a B-24 Liberator, a four-engine heavy bomber, Harold flew from Florida to southern Italy with stops in Trinidad and Brazil as part of the 465th Bomb Group. During the night flight from Brazil across the Atlantic to Dakar, West Africa, one of their planes ran out of fuel and went down. That plane, along with its entire crew, would never be found. A 20-year-old newlywed, Harold enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Corps on December 2, 1942. He went first to basic training and then to radio school, where he learned radio mechanics and Morse code. After gunnery training in Nevada, he was assigned as a radio operator, but during combat, he would serve as the left waist gunner. Assigned to the 15th Air Force, once training was finished and the bomb group had arrived in southern Italy, the crew of the Jackpine Joe anxiously awaited their first mission. FLAC, or surface-to-air anti-aircraft guns, an ever-present danger, was responsible for the untimely end of many missions. Harold's personal journal records the time FLAC knocked out part of their oxygen and hydraulic systems. Upon landing, we had to help the ball turret gunner out of the turret by using cables because the hydraulic system was inoperable.
Hmm.
Then came missions number 35 and 36. On July 19, 1944, the crew flew what would be their last mission. The objective? Bomb the BMW aircraft engine factory at Erlach, near Munich, in Bavaria, Germany. It was a heavily defended target. The plane lost an engine, resulting in a runaway propeller and significant loss of altitude. After he realized that the navigator had parachuted out of the plane, the pilot decided to fly to Switzerland because they couldn't gain enough altitude to cross the Alps to their base in Italy. When the navigator jumped, his maps and equipment had blown out of the plane. Opening his escape pouch, the pilot used the enclosed escape map and guessed at a compass heading for Switzerland. Hmm. As we headed for Switzerland with one engine out of control, the plane was vibrating and we were flying at a low altitude. We passed over a German airfield and a fighter came up to look us over, then left.
Hmm.
All the ammunition and anything else we could lay our hands on had been thrown overboard to lighten the plane to maintain altitude. As the plane approached Switzerland, all hell broke loose. We had come too close to a military target. They opened up with everything they had, but they still couldn't shoot us down. Once out of range, the pilot ordered the crew to parachute because he could no longer control the plane. Hit with a piece of shrapnel that lodged in his lower left leg, Harold wasn't looking forward to the jump because he felt pain whenever he tried to stand. The rest of the crew bailed out from the bottom escape hatch located on the back of the plane. Harold crawled over to the hatch, dropped out, and when he was clear of the plane, pulled the handle of his chute. Landing in an orchard, he found himself hanging by his chute in a tree. Helped down by a Swiss soldier, he was taken to a nearby hospital close to Lake Constance, where the shrapnel was surgically removed. After 5 weeks on his back in bed and 4 weeks of ambulatory care, he was released and sent to Adelboden, where some of the internees were kept. Two other crew members were in the hospital with Harold for a short time. One had shrapnel wounds, and the other had broken his ankle parachuting. The co-pilot was the first casualty of their squadron. Swiss police told Harold that the co-pilot had never pulled the ripcord after he jumped from the plane.
Hmm.
Later, we lost a total of 49 more, for a total of 50 men lost from our squadron. Several of them were my close friends. While at Adelboden, Harold became friends with English soldiers also interned there who helped him try to escape. Some American prisoners did escape, but alas, Harold got caught and soon was on his way to the infamous Wavillermus, a prison camp akin to a German POW camp one whose existence many Swiss still deny. We had straw to sleep on, 2 meals a day consisting of watered-down soup, no meat, and a very small loaf of bread. The commandant of the camp was a Swiss military officer and a Nazi sympathizer, if not himself a Nazi. In addition to military internees, the prison also housed the country's worst criminals. Mm. American prisoners were subjected to physical and sexual abuse, starvation, freezing, unsanitary conditions. According to retired Brigadier General Robert Cardenas, the camp was exactly like, if not worse, than any POW camp in Germany. It was horrible. When I first heard about this camp, I was stunned. Switzerland, supposedly neutral during World War II, home to a place like this? Due to the perseverance of retired Army Major Dwight S. Mears, many more people now know about Wavillermus and the Americans who were held there. Mears began looking for information about his late grandfather, Army Air Force's Lieutenant George W. Mears, also held at Wavillermus. Switzerland's neutral status meant that internees were not eligible for the POW medal. Hmm. Mears and others thought these internees deserved the medal, and they fought for them to be recognized. On April 30th, 2014, 9 U.S. Army Air Force's airmen who had been held at Wavillermus over 70 years earlier were finally honored with the Prisoner of War Medal. When Harold was released and sent home to rural Charleston, Illinois, toward the end of February in 1945, he wasn't thinking about medals. It was great to be home and see my wife, parents, sister, and all my relatives and friends. It was quite a change for me, and it took a while to get back to normal. I feel very fortunate to have returned safely to the United States. It is still the greatest nation in the world. With our one motor gone, we can still carry on, coming in on a wing and a prayer. That's a World War II era song.
And one that I'm trying to pull up, and we'll close out the program with at least a portion of it. But, wow, what a hero. And I'm sure there'd be many stories he could recount about the camp. And you would think, oh, a camp in Switzerland, a piece of cake. No, not at all.
No.
And well, that they had camps in Switzerland. I don't think I ever heard about that.
For a long time, he was held at the internment camp. And at the internment camp, he had a lot more freedom. Mm. In fact, he told me he learned to ski. And the people there, the Swiss people, for the most part, were very, very kind, very nice.
That's good.
Uh-huh. And they would have concerts. Mm. And he played several different instruments and sang. So I know when I asked him if he was familiar with this song, Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer, he said, oh, yes. You know, like, of course I am. Of course I am.
Yeah.
But was it because he tried to escape that then they sent him to the other camp?
Yes. Oh, okay. That's right. It was because he tried to escape.
Oh, this whole thing makes me cry. What a thing to have had to go through. Thank you, Harold.
Mm. Oh, wow. Well, and there's so many of them. Now, I know a lot of them couldn't understand why the prisoners would try to escape.
No.
You know, because they weren't at the first camp, at the internment camp, they weren't mistreated, but they wanted to get back in the battle.
Right.
They wanted to complete their mission, the reason that they were there. And that's why they continually tried to escape. It was very, very difficult to escape from the camp in Switzerland because you couldn't just get, once you got out of the camp, you just couldn't keep going somewhere. You had to get on a train.
Yeah.
You had to get out because think of the terrain.
Yeah, and you'd stand out.
Sure, you would.
You don't have the currency or the IDs or the passport.
Right.
All that.
Oh, that's right, because you had to get out that way.
There's an interesting part of this story. Back when their plane was careening out of control in the air,
yes. Uh-huh.
And they flew over the German the German airfield, Swiss airfield, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It says, oh, no, we passed over a German airfield, and a fighter came up to look us over, then left. Uh-huh. That German fighter that didn't knock them out of the sky saved their lives.
I know.
You wonder what that
Absolutely.
Story was, why that German fighter didn't just take them down.
I have no idea. I don't think Harold knew.
Huh.
One of the things I find as I write these stories, I see God's hand everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know. One of the strangest things is why didn't the co-pilot pull his parachute cord?
Yeah. Maybe he blacked out or something. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to close out with just a portion of Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer. This, maybe some of our seniors will remember the song from like the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an old one. But here's a portion of one that I just was able to download.
Oh, yeah.
So Coming On a Wing and a Prayer.
Well, I knew it because I watched old movies.
And so we dedicate this to Harold. Harold, thank you for serving our country and being our hero.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you, Harold.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day tonight.
Though there's one motor gone, we can still carry on. Come in on a wing and a prayer.
What a show. What a fight.
Yes, we really hit our target for the night.
How we sing as we limp through the air. Oh, look below, there's our field over there.
With our full crew aboard and our trust in the Lord, we're coming in on a wing and a prayer.
One of our planes was missing, 2 hours overdue. One of our planes was missing with all its gallant crew.
The radio sets were humming, they waited for a word.
Then a voice broke through the humming, and this is what they heard.
Coming in
on a wing and a prayer.
Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Though there's one motor gone, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. What a fight. Yes, we really hit our target for tonight.
How we sing as we limp through the air.
Look below, there's our field over there. With our full crew aboard and our trust in the Lord, we're coming in on a wing and a prayer. Though there's one motor gone, we can still carry on.